Hello and welcome back to Tribal Council Episode 3, Season 23, with your co-host Chris.
Hello.
I am Ralph, and we are here to discuss, a less eventful episode than I was expecting. What was your general impression?
It was not that great. I mean, what was our teaser from last week? I think we saw Brandon breaking down.
It was Brandon's problems.
And that was about it. And, I suppose that kept this episode from being an absolute dud. But overall.
Yeah, I mean, the reason the series has been as successful as it's been is because the gameplay has always been edge of your seat type stuff that wants to keep you coming back. So this is not one of those.
Yeah. Well, and early episodes tend to be that way. I mean, I was actually thinking about it tonight. I mean, the amount that Russell has changed the dynamic of Survivor as a whole can't be underestimated. I mean, you know, I remember I guess it was the All-Stars season and some of the Samoa season, like, it wasn't even edge of my seat material. It was I'm standing up material because I was that I had that much energy inside me that was like, holy cow, like, he's actually going to pull this stuff off. And it was scintillating. And, you know, I don't think we've recaptured it
since then. Because we don't have that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's set the high water mark very significantly higher than it was before he arrived on the scene. You know, the high water mark before was not that dramatic. It was stuff like, you know, the teacher Bob from Gabon, I think it was, actually pulling off the fake idol and stuff like that, or, you know, Dreams not following through on his promise to give immunity to Yao Man. Russell moved the high water mark to new heights. You know, this is like Bob Beamon breaking the long jump record by like 2.5 feet back in the '80s or something like that. You know, like,
and no one's revisited since.
Well, no, you know, that's like, not true. That record actually has been broken.
Yeah,
since. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a record that used to get moved by inches suddenly gets moved by 2.5 feet or whatever. And Russell,
if you haven't read it, there's a really amazing article, I think, on Grantland about Carl Lewis jumping 30 feet and having it erased on a foot fault that he swears didn't happen.
Oh, really? Is this pre-video video of everything?
Yeah, it was like, you know, 1982 or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Well, onto our business. You know, the episode opens with Christine arriving at Redemption Island, and the two notes I took about her is she said that, one, she doesn't think that her tribe was ready for a player out of the blocks, and two, Coach had it out for me, which is silly given that she was the one that planted that seed in the first place.
Yes, isn't it? I mean, granted, I had back a little bit last week or 2 weeks ago when I said, you know, ultimately, I would have no qualms being the person who says, let's be honest, all of us ultimately view each other as temporary players. But that said, like, it shouldn't be shocking to her that she was the one that, you know, he decided to get rid of. And it's not like it even took a whole lot of coaxing on his part, you know. I mean, he had her in mind, but it's not like he had to put on the hard sell to the rest of the people in the tribe.
Yeah, not like Brandon pulling out all the stops trying to get Michaela out.
I thought it was interesting the post tribal council stuff for Upolu back at camp. You know, Michaela talking to Coach, and you know, Brandon comes over and sorry to interrupt, whatever. And I wonder if there was a subtle message there when Coach put his arm around Brandon while talking to Michaela, and you know, it may have been very nonchalant and had nothing deeper to it, but you know, I can't help but think that sent a message to Michaela that, you know, I'm not getting rid of you right away, but ultimately Brandon's my guy before you're my guy.
like, I thought we would get a better coach. I thought a coach would be more open to evolving his relationships, that, you know, he would put initial trust in people, but, you know, stay on his guard, just because it seems like he's not considering the fact that he should be, like, vetting his relationship with Brandon. He should be reconsidering this, you know, this agreement he entered into, that, you know, clearly this guy has some problems that he didn't foresee at the beginning, but are,
well,
you know, emerging as we go on.
Because I actually, some of my notes from this episode are that I actually think Coach has learned. And I think we are seeing a legitimately wiser coach than we've seen in past seasons. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe, you know, it's just one episode and, you know, it happened to get edited this way that, you know, he ends up looking a little more hip to what's going on than he normally does. But I don't know. I think, I mean, this is what I'm talking about is stuff that happens much later in the episode after Brandon's very strange interaction with Michaela and the rest of the tribe. But I think he's a little wiser, and I think actually, I think it is smart for him to keep Brandon close to him. Because as we see in the teaser for next week, Brandon is coming to him with stuff, and who knows? I mean, it could just be Brandon making up stuff. But ultimately, it seems.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's Hansery back at its finest.
Agree.
You know, he's.
But ultimately,
he's stuff
Coach
up again.
Is the person he seems to go to first about things. And on top of it, I think Brandon's presence in the game acts as a heat decoy for Coach. You know, Coach always has heat on him, simply by virtue of the fact that he's insufferable as a personality, and these, you know, the dragon warrior and honor and integrity and all that sort of stuff.
Dragon slayer.
Yeah. What did I say? Dragon
warrior?
Dragon
slayer. Yes.
I mean, having Brandon around completely draws the ire of the tribe and thus makes his ability to go further in the game a lot stronger. Especially considering on day one, it looked like he may suffer the same fate Russell did last season. So, I think there's it's a fine line he's gonna have to walk, but it looks to me like he's learned enough to be able to pull it off.
Let's get back on track. We skipped to the elimination challenge between Semahar and Christine, and it is the same challenge that Russell Hance used to eliminate Brett in season 19 on Samoa.
Is that the same challenge?
Do you recall?
I do recall that challenge. I didn't recall it being exactly the same.
It's a pole extending challenge, and there were things, either one thing or things at the top of the pole, and they just had to keep extending that thing. And it was a really epic challenge back then, and this is less epic, but again, the stakes weren't nearly remotely within three orders of magnitude of what it was back in Samoa.
No, definitely, yeah. I mean, this is who's the first person going home versus, you know, who's the last person guaranteed a spot in the final, or the first person guaranteed a spot in the final. I like this challenge versus the other ones where you're balancing stuff and you keep piling on top, because this has a recovery element to it that the others don't. You know, when you're balancing the plates and the bowls and stuff like that, you know, once something gets cockeyed, you're kind of screwed, and you're having to adjust. You're having to counteract that forever until the end of the challenge. Whereas with this, if you lose balance, you can regain balance, and then you're good. And it looks like those poles were built with little extra shafts on the end to house the next pole, so that, you know, it's not like you have to worry about that being in there right or anything like that.
Right. But we're skipping the most interesting part of this entire segment, though.
Oh, yeah. Semhar's little pregame pep talk or whatever. I'm telling you, man, each week she just gives me more fodder to my theory that she came on this show to launch some sort of spoken word career.
Well, she certainly got my attention. I would certainly feel the love from her if she expressed her desire to take her clothes off, put on a show for me, have 10 kids plus one more without any drugs, just because.
You want to be her everything, her boo?
I'd be her boo. If that's what she's willing to do, I'd be her boo. I'd take her craziness and everything. But I'm on record.
I particularly enjoyed the, like, what's that?
I'm on record for being a Semhar admirer. A Semmirer.
That's true. A Semmirer?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just absolutely loved the shots of Jeff in, like, I don't know if he was forcing the deadpan or what, but just the stare, like, all right, whenever we're ready.
I think there's some creative editing going on there.
I enjoyed it.
Some creative editing going on there, because who knows how much they were actually able to hear. We have no idea.
Oh, well, he comments on it, so I think it's fairly legit. I mean, he's like, all right, we're ready to go now? Everything in order?
Yeah, but that's like his shtick, is like, hey, you know, this is my game. You know, let's get on with it, sort of thing.
Right, right. It also seemed like Semhar was not particularly into the challenge. You know, she seemed only vaguely interested in trying to win the challenge. I wonder if the time at Redemption Island was a little too taxing for her to want to even contemplate doing it another 3 days, let alone another 15 days or whatever it would take to actually re-enter the game.
Right.
You know, she didn't...
I don't know that I got that same impression. But, I mean, just based on her little thing to try to get in the zone right before the game, I mean, maybe you're right, maybe it's purely a marketing thing, but I don't know. I came away with the impression that she would have preferred to have won, but...
Well, just watching her...
But honestly, I don't know that we need to waste a whole lot more breath
true.
On this.
Yeah.
We're talking about the first person out, Chris. Come on.
A person lost is a person lost, whether they're first or last.
No, it's different.
That's true.
It's different. So the person who leaves last left an impression. The person who leaves first, I could care. So this little segment in between Elimination Challenge and Immunity Challenge was easily the best 15 minutes.
Oh, wait. I have one other thing about Redemption Island. I'm sorry. The arena is way underwhelming compared to last year's or last season's. Did you notice the arena? It was just like this. It wasn't even wood. It looked like it was, I mean, granted, we're looking at it from a helicopter or whatever. It looked like a straw construction, you know, versus these like stone steps and, you know, it was like ruins of a pyramid or something like that at the last Redemption Island.
Yeah, again, they want to stick to the theme of the location. So the stone stuff kind of recalls the Central American pyramids that were built by ancient civilizations,
right. Mayan ruins and all that.
The construction of this one, is just sort of reminiscent of, you know.
I think they're in Samoa now, right? That's why they're calling it South Pacific, because they can't use Samoa again as a name.
They don't want to mix it. Yeah, they're probably back. It sounds like that. So Hance comes back to, he rallies the troops together, he takes off his shirt, and, Stacy does one of the great double takes.
Yeah, she does an excellent double take.
In Survivor history.
It was very good.
Yeah, it was solid.
Yeah, definitely a what the what moment there.
And, how do you gauge the reaction from the group when he outs himself as a Hance?
I mean, a few people, I think the only reason it's a big deal is because he makes it a big deal, you know? Like... All
exactly.
He needed to do was just not make a moment of it, and then there's no element of deceit to the fact that he waited until day 7 for people to realize this. You know, like, oh, hey, I guess I just never took my shirt off during the first 6 days. That's funny. I don't know. You know, like, this so could have been something that was not even a blip on the radar, and instead he's decided to turn it into, you know, a firestorm of sorts. And
is Brandon an attention whore? Is he just starved?
Yeah, oh,
for
I definitely one of my notes this week was definitely that he's a drama king. I mean, he appears to almost look for ways to be a little bit of a martyr, you know, this I'm conflicted between good and evil. I mean there's a degree to which I think it's semi-genuine at least, but nonetheless he's, you know, it may be subconsciously manifested from some desire for attention or whatever. But, yeah, it's way more than I ever... Well, he made way bigger of a deal than this ever needed to be.
He proceeds to get encountered by Michaela, and he segues that into an opportunity to put Michaela out there in front of the whole tribe that no one is trusting her, that the symbol of that is that she's not in an alliance. And while there's some truth to that, I thought Coach very astutely pointed out that
yeah,
it just sent shockwaves through a lot of people, especially through his alliance of, like, why would you ever...
Yeah,
you don't want to make all of this on the table yet.
I mean, the conversation he had with Michaela at first, it's clear that it's funny. It seems like he wants to be redeemed or absolved of his sin, per se, but at the same time is not really comfortable being put in the situation where he needs to actually come completely clean about it. She flat out confronts him, and I mean, he sort of just gave this BS, I don't like you, I think was he said, and then she doesn't really know what to do with that. She's like, what makes you not like me? And then suddenly we're going to have this conversation in front of the whole tribe. And I did not get that at all, because I did not understand what he thought he was accomplishing here. I mean, was he just putting her on blast or what?
Yeah. The purpose of it was to, I think, deflect some of the attention off of himself, or to not have to explain how her shapely body causes him to question his faithfulness to God and his wife.
Yeah, I sort of understand not wanting to have to actually say that to her. But, I mean, it was just a strange choice. Like, we're coming back and nobody trusts you, and take a look around. Who can you trust? Who can't you? Like, it seemed like this little rant that was littered with nonsense.
Well, again, this is the problem with a guy who doesn't want to tell the straight-up truth, which is that Michaela's hotness bothers him, and the only reason he wants her gone is so that he can not worry about how hot she is, and just instead of look at the less desirable members of his team and be okay with
that. I wonder if this is what Russell was like when he was 19. And, you know, we've just seen the more polished version, you know. He's gotten used to it. He's like, okay, I need to learn to think on my feet a little better. I need to shape my lies a little better. And, you know, now that we've seen the 38-year-old, or however old he is, Russell, you know, he's got his game on, and you know he knows how to think well on his feet, and that's the only real difference. Maybe I don't know.
No, I don't think that's it. I think Russell's the OG. I think he's got his own thing, and like right now, Brandon is just sort of dealing with how to not be his old self, which is too much like his uncle.
Yeah, that's true.
Because clearly, you know, I mean, again, think about it, like. He watched his uncle tear up Survivor, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
When he was 17. Yeah. I mean, obviously very impressionable, still very impressionable now. So I'm sure there's some of that in which he was like, yeah, my uncle's a badass, so clearly I must be a badass because I'm a Hans too. Like, I'm sure that's when he got those tattoos, is when, you know, after his uncle got, like,
oh yeah,
you know, went crazy on the show.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Which, by the way, I have to say, I like his, the one on the back of his neck. That's a fun little...
The Hans logo.
Of the letters.
Yeah.
The one on his arm, the little Hans, that's...
Yeah.
That one's
I don't know.
Stupid.
It's garbage. Yeah.
By the way, have tattoos become requisite for this show?
No. I think Albert's clean.
Is he? Okay.
I know Michaela looks pretty clean.
Well, Keith has, like, a massive... It looks like a compass on his, like, on the side of his abdomen. And then the girl he was talking
to... Yeah, but that one looks good.
Whitney. I mean, it's like, Whitney. I feel like we're watching the NBA here. I mean, tattoos are borderline requisite.
Yeah, it's I don't know. The source of Brandon's problems is clearly he needs to stop sleeping with his head on the fire.
Yeah, no, what was that about? I mean, I've never seen somebody so not, like, disturbed or annoyed by, like, the amount of ash getting blown in their face.
You know, I think it illustrates how little sleep they're getting, that he can sit there, accumulate about, you know, 2 cups worth of ash on his face and head, and just be blissfully sleeping still.
That's his penance for his sins.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Self-flagellation. I'm just going to sit here, I'm gonna inhale the smoke from the fire, and this is going to be my penance for thinking
this
about
this. This is like
this
a slightly different interpretation
body.
Of cut off your nose to spite your face.
So we kind of go to commercial with the people from Upolu saying, well, he's really a loose cannon, but what are we going to do? And I have to imagine that if I were in the same place, it would be pretty easy for me to straight up propose to Michaela, look, we want to offer you Brandon's spot. And just, you know, we'll be a five again. And, like, why wouldn't you take that opportunity? Like, she's clearly not trying to game the system. Like, she's not scrambling. She's not headed out. She's totally stable. She's completely contributing to the group effort challenges. Why wouldn't you? I mean, he's made that promise to Brandon. It's killing him. Sophie says famous last words. She says, I hope, you know, he's definitely got a little, you know, Russell Hantz in him, and I hope it doesn't bite us in the butt. That's what Russell Hantz does. All
but
Russell
on the other
Hantz
hand,
does
the other thing Russell
is
Hantz
come
does
back to bite you in
the
butt.
Is the people, like, everybody loves to trash Russell, but the thing about how, like, evil he can be and conniving and all that stuff, but ultimately, the people who are loyal to him, he is very loyal to. I mean, the people that he says he's going to take, he takes. So, it's not nearly...
Yeah, but there are means... I was trying to say, like, it doesn't benefit, but obviously the first season, Natalie... Is that her name?
Yeah, Natalie.
No. Yeah, Natalie obviously took it home, but that was just a matter of a jury failing to recognize... what he had, you know, accomplished. I don't know. We should talk about Savaii.
You know what? Jeff is going back and forth between his pronouncements, pronunciations of that name. Sometimes it's Savaii, sometimes it's Savaii. And I'll have you know, when I typed Savaii into my little notes thing, just S-A-V-A-I-I, it auto-corrected to S-A-V-A-I, apostrophe I. Which I believe is the sort of native spelling of Hawaii, and I think so. I think that's an indication that I'm right about this Savaii thing.
No, I'm not going to challenge you on it. I heard him say it, and it makes a lot of sense to me. You know, obviously, you know, as a person of Pacific Island descent, you know, I'm sure we're all connected in some manner, so that doesn't bother me. So Ozzy decides he's going to tell Keith, and Keith reveals that he is playing with Whitney. So, you know, I wonder how this is going to all play out, because I'm hoping Keith is realizing that he cannot be the Grant to Ozzy's Boston Rob.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. There's also, I mean, I just don't understand Ozzy's choice to reveal this information. I mean, the first thing I wrote down is, three people can keep a secret if two are dead. I mean, the old proverb, the old adage, whatever you want to call it. Spreading this information is just not helpful. It's, I don't know. It's the same thing as the Brandon and this Hans thing. It's either, you know, don't make it into a secret, or if it's going to be a secret, then keep it. You know, I mean, it didn't kill him because he confessed or whatever before it came out through Coach or whatever. But with Ozzy, I mean, he told one person, now that person's told somebody else. This is how that sort of thing spirals out of control. And I think that's the thing. Just keep your... The time to reveal is when it's going to come into play and there's somebody you need to bring in on the play. And clearly this is not coming into play for at least a few votes. So why bother, you know?
My thing is that I think Ozzy is revealing that he's not a very good gamer. He's not a very good schemer. You know, his thing is to try to create alliances that will work for him. But now that he's in a position of sitting on an idol, well, he obviously, like, misused it last time. And this time I feel like he can't sit on it, because it's going to make him too antsy if he can't just know that he's, like, you know, he's got it out there, and so that way he doesn't have to worry about sitting on it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't have to lie to the person he's trying to keep closest to.
Well, and we even see in the teaser for next week that Ozzy may even be getting snaked by somebody in his alliance. I think it's Jim we see, right? That looks like he's making a deal of some sort with Cochran.
Making a deal with Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, and Jim gets a little bit amped up about the fact that he's making a Survivor move, it looks like. But yeah, whatever Ozzy does, he needs to start showing some more chops in his strategy and gameplay.
You don't see the growth in Oz that you saw in Coach?
I see growth, but he just put on weight. That's it.
Very clever. I want to move on to something I'm the most excited about. And it's been a soapbox issue on the previous podcast. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I actually don't.
We go back to the ocean.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, actually, I did think about that. Yes, I did notice that we were actually using the ocean. We're not building fake pools in when we have ample volume of water nearby.
And what happens as a result? We get this really great-looking challenge. Like, I love the overhead shots. I love the gigantic wheel that they had to crank, like some sort of mad, you know, set of like Oompa Loompas at the wheel of the ship of Willy Wonka.
I loved it. But the one thing I was disappointed in is we were basically deprived of Ozzy the fish. You know, I mean, this is
ability to swim.
Yeah,
and,
this is perhaps the only thing that he does better than, you know, than climbing telephone poles, and that's swimming in the ocean and just, like I said, being like a fish. Like, the guy moves like nobody else.
He will get his opportunities. Clearly, if we're going to be back in the ocean, he will get his chance to do some diving and swimming. And,
I would hope so.
And we will get to see that. I am just so glad we have escaped the tyranny of the tub. We're back in the ocean, and I thought the two pieces were really disjointed, and I think we're starting to see more of that, but maybe they just know for a fact that it makes for a better challenge if they have the pieces involved that are there. What are your thoughts?
You mean like in terms of leg two of a challenge being completely unrelated to leg one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only that you need the pieces of challenge one to do challenge two.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think what they're trying to do is build these more well-rounded challenges so that no single challenge ever truly favors one trait over another. I mean, this is like the immunity challenges we saw towards the tail end of last season, where it was the balance beam combined with the quote unquote puzzle of putting the numbers into order in when they were on the tiles. But nonetheless, they're attempting to cross-pollinate skill sets for in the creation of their challenges, so that there's, you know, brute athleticism, then there's, you know, more tactile dexterity with the grappling hook, and then the minor degree of puzzle acuity to create the image of the mask or whatever from the five banners.
Maybe you'll disagree with me, but for me, Coach won it.
Oh,
like,
I totally
straight
agree.
Up with the hooks.
I totally agree. Coach, I thought, was very, very strong. He both in the dexterity of pulling up the buckets or whatever. It looked like he didn't have any difficulty with any of them. But then also being very organized in his in addressing the puzzle. You know, they had Michaela down low, you know, helping direct traffic. But
and Sophie.
And was Sophie also doing it?
Mm-hmm.
But then also him, you know, telling, what was it, Edna? Is that the girl who was up there with him?
Edna.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, telling her to go underneath him makes a lot of sense so that they're not bumping into each other. They're not twisting their banners, and I think,
And you didn't see the same thing from Elise and Whitney. There was a lot of, like, there wasn't much communication. It didn't seem like they were working together in nearly the same way where Coach was kind of just
there wasn't much
telling
to work
Edna
together on.
What
they
she
didn't get them,
to be.
They didn't even get them unraveled.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed, that's true. Yeah,
they didn't get a single one of their banners unraveled. I think, I think it's a combination of Coach pulling ahead on the grappling hook, and then they were just, you know, a little bit of lightning in a bottle with the actual arranging of the banners. Once they got them open, I think they just did three quick swaps and they were done.
It wasn't the hardest puzzle in the world.
No,
it
this
really
was
wasn't.
not much of a puzzle. I mean, ultimately, right. there's really only 120 different orders you can have there, and it's pretty easy to identify what needs to go where once they're all unraveled. So
was it five factorial?
Five factorial, yeah.
Thank you. That has been your math lesson for today, courtesy
indeed.
Of math doctoral student Chris Van Vathuizen.
Yes.
All right. Let's go on to the pre-tribal scramble, and Papa Bear quickly identifies that he and Cochran are in trouble.
Yeah.
That is quickly confirmed by the five that are in control of that tribe, and Papa Bear resorts to searching for an idol that he ultimately concocts on his own.
Yeah.
this was not our best effort, A, in efforts of looking, and B, in construction of any kind of believable idol that could have been interpreted as something. And my final point, this is a classic, like, weak poker players bluff. Like, weak players act strong when they're weak,
right?
And strong players act weak when they're strong. Right. And that was, it was just textbook.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely oversold his confidence when he comes back. And I think he would have been better off if he just, you know, doesn't even bother concocting the thing, doesn't go and try to tell somebody, but just sort of like, just the simple act of coming back and being complacent, I think, is the best sell, because it's the undersold sell.
Going to the second level.
Yeah, you don't go to gym. I found it. It was real easy. Oh, okay, sure.
He bought it. Yeah, he voted for him.
Not only did he voted buy for it, he's the poker player, too.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for finding that connection.
Yeah, he's the guy who's touted himself as having won over 20 poker tournaments. Although I feel like I heard somewhere that he's actually won like a WPT event or an APT event or something like that. So it's not like he's just winning
something with like local, a six-figure pot on it, right?
Yeah, something to that effect. I it's not like this guy's just winning, you know, some local, you know, random Thursday afternoon event at you know, the Harrah's nearby or whatever. But what did you think about Papa Bear's play? I mean, the funny thing was the note that I wrote down here after watching the episode a second time, I said, you know, now that I think about it, like, it seemed like a really weak play. But on the other hand, what other angles did Papa Bear have?
No, I know. No, he was completely playing one of the few things he had left. I think the only other card he can play is to try to disseminate who is closest to Ozzy and go to the other parts of that power, power five, and say, Ozzy cannot be allowed to stay. Now, the problem is it's too early in the game to try to do that, and people saw last season that voting out Russell did not make their tribe stronger.
Right.
And it led to problems down the line. So, that play is tough, so I think maybe...
Yeah, finding the lowest person in that five-person alliance is not an easy task, because it's almost, you know, the fact that it's so early makes it difficult for there to have been much of a pecking order in that five-person alliance, you know? And, you know, I certainly thought, you know, there's eight of them, and he's got three. He really just needs to swing one more. But, I don't know, I can't help but wonder... You know, who are the other two? Is it Elise and Whitney? Are they the two girls in the alliance?
Yep. They're the two weakest.
Yeah, and I, you know, get one of them to and play them against each other or something like that. You know, get a little.
Do you think Whitney and Keith is a thing? Like, do you think they're going to become a strategic pairing?
I think maybe. Yeah, I think Keith may be setting himself up. Sort of a little bit a la Rob last season, where there's like the all guy alliance, but then there's me and the girls alliance, you know, the way Rob had with, I think it was Ashley and Natalie? No. Was that her name?
No.
Who went to the final?
The dancer.
Yeah, I can't remember.
The dancers.
But two of them with Rob, and then there was Grant and Phil with Rob. And so Keith may be trying to set himself up nicely. So that if this alliance of five can survive a long time, then he's got options based on who he thinks he has the best chance against later on, and it won't be perceived as a, like, I'm bailing on my real alliance, because he sort of have set both of them up to feel like they're the real alliance. So.
Yeah. Anything else before we get to travel?
I think one thing that I liked is I saw Papa Bear, it looked like we saw a little bit of Papa Bear's career come into play here. I mean, from the instant he was told that they were voting out Cochran, his radar was up, and I think, you know, you felt the detective in him come out, and he asked him questions, and he just sort of read their answer the way a detective of 20 years or whatever would have, you know, like... Well, he was supposed to be first, right? So that's why we're voting for him. And it's just sort of like, it's A, the answer, but it's also the way they deliver it. It's like, okay, clearly this is something you're trying to sell me a bill of goods here. This is not the real deal.
Ozzy was particularly bad. He's just showing how bad of a liar he is, because Keith throws it to him and he's like, yeah, he was going to be the first one out, right, Ozzy? And Ozzy's like,
what?
What?
Yeah, exactly. The feigning like you weren't even paying attention so that give yourself a minute to come up with something to say in your lie.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Yeah.
He's a bad liar.
Yeah, he is a bad liar.
He's a bad liar.
I also think Cochran is starting to come into his own a little bit here. And obviously, this is amped up a little bit by the teaser for next week's episode, but... You know, I think he's getting his wisdom for the game from having been such a super fan is starting to come out. And, you know, he recognizes that, A, he's on the chopping block this week, and it seems likely that he's not going to go home, but there's a degree to which maybe you should scramble. But he also doesn't want to become the guy who has to scramble every week. And so he's aware of that. And then at Tribal, he talks about it a little bit too. You know, you want to foster trust, and, you know, constantly looking for a hidden immunity idol is not going to do that. So, I think he sort of needed that little wake up call that first week, but now he's getting a little more comfortable, and he's, despite the fact that he's not in the power side of the alliances, and he's sort of finding a little bit of rhythm for himself, strategically and wisdomly.
Well, I am with you in supporting him. You know, as a super fan, I too would love to see him go far and start to, take forth his lessons from his viewing experiences into the game and see how that plays out.
Definitely.
Just to see how, you know, because it's like an insider. We got a guy on the inside.
Exactly.
And he's giving us live reports and...
Oh, yeah.
It's a good time.
It's much very similar to the appeal of, you know, the nobodies when they win the main event at the World Series of Poker. You know, oh, hey, that could be me. You know, when it's the poker pro, no, that's not me. I know that's not me, but that could be me. So, Tribal?
Yeah, I think, again, Papa Bear plays one of the few cards he has, which is to put it all on the table. Tell Dawn, look, you're not in the five. You know, it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, do you think Dawn is kidding herself, or is Dawn just trying to politic a little bit so that, you know...
What are you going to do if you're Dawn? Admit that you're not in the five?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you call it out and then... An attempt to stir the pot by pointing out that sooner or later
the five
that five has
you...
to.
No, I think you solidify the five if you make them confront their alliance-ness.
Okay.
I think it makes it more solid, and I think as long as it's like, you know, seen as a little bit fluid, I think that can only help her to, you know, again, because you don't want to seem confrontational either, because it's like. Why are you coming at me? Like, we could be, you know, we could potentially form some sort of agreement, but if you're sort of confrontational at Tribal, you close off those avenues.
Yeah, I could see that. What do you think about Papa Bear's shot at, through Redemption Island?
His chances?
Yeah.
I like his chances.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be one of the more competitive people that's going to be there early on, for sure. So, I mean, I've not counted him out of this game at all, and I don't know that I think Christine is going to be able to have the staying power that a Matt would. But we haven't seen an athletic person get voted to Redemption Island, but it's got to happen. I mean, isn't that like one of the staples of like the first 4 weeks, is that someone who is relatively athletic and not expecting to be voted out ends up voted out?
I suppose so. I mean, Matt was that person last time. But
it happens.
I think
people get blindsided. It's going to happen.
I guess, but I don't know. I feel like we see the lines being drawn in both tribes pretty clearly, you know, with, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that Cochran or Dawn is probably next, you know, despite the teaser for next week. It's probably a red herring there.
You know, if Upolu stays with Brandon and they end up eventually successfully ousting Michaela, she has got great chances. You know, again, she's very resourceful, independent. She can handle a challenge.
But there's, I mean, there's two other people who are likely to go, I think, before her, and that's Stacy and Edna. You know, Stacy was...
No, I think Coach... I think Coach would keep Edna over...
Over Michaela?
Over Michaela. He's backed Brandon the whole way. Like, if the choice could... Like, obviously Stacy's next, but, you know, when it comes down to Edna or Michaela, and he's got little hands barking in his ear...
That's true. That's true. I guess if... Yeah, sooner or later, it's going to come to a point where Michaela's name is being considered, and Brandon's going to get real loud about that.
If it's relatively near the merge, you know, you've got to think, who's more likely to stay with the tribe?
Yeah.
Is it Edna or is it Michaela? And it's certainly Edna.
Yeah, that's true.
She does not have a straying bone in her body.
That's true.
All right, well, any last words?
None about the episode. We, quick plug for the means of contacting us. We've updated our names and our email addresses on Twitter and the new email address is podcast@tc.vanb.net. So that's TC as in tribal council .vanb.net. And on Twitter we are tribal podcast, all one word as, handles are meant to be. So, look for us there and, thanks for listening.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you guys next week, and stay tuned. Thanks. Bye.